Well, first of all, it's because worldwide, one out of three women in the world has been beaten, coerced into a sex, or abused in some other way, usually by a man she knows, including her husband or another male relative. But still, despite that, violence against women is shrouded in silence and shame, and often women don't report, and it's their sufferings therefore undiagnosed and untreated. Worldwide, violence against women and girls causes more death and disability for women between the ages of 15 and 44 than cancer, malaria, traffic accidents, and war put together. So it's a very big problem, and it's a problem that is worldwide. So in that respect, it's useful to see what it is that happens with violence against women in different sorts of societies, where the commonalities are, and what things we can do together, and what kinds of strategies need to be adapted to context.
Looking at the Muslim world, what differences do you see between the Muslim world and the non-Muslim world when it comes to violence against women?
Violence against women is, in fact, a common thread in Muslim societies, in non-Muslim societies, in the global north, in the global south. What Muslim societies have in common, but sometimes have differences, as we'll see in a minute, is that sometimes those acts of violence or particular forms of violence are justified with relation to a particular understanding of Muslim practices or Muslim religions, and that in that context it's sometimes useful, therefore, to exchange information about how, if in one Muslim society, let's say much of the Middle East and perhaps Southeast Asia, the phenomenon of what's called crimes perpetrated in the name of honor is attributed to Islam, whereas in other Muslim societies, as in much of West Africa, crimes in the name of honor are virtually unknown.
Just so our audience understands, one instance might be a woman who is raped and then in turn is killed by members of her family because they feel that she dishonored the family because she was raped?
That would be the sort of thing. It's more that where women are seen as embodying the honor of the family, whatever they do in terms of their sexuality, that people in the men in their families don't like. And it may not be as serious as rape. It may be, in fact, as relatively inconsequential as being seen talking to another man, you know, who's not a relative. And then she may be attacked, she may be beaten, she may be killed, she may be prevented from going to school or going to work. So there's a whole range of crimes, all of which are violence in some way, but which are perpetrated against her because the men who control her family see it as dishonoring them for her to be doing that, whether or not she's actually doing it. In some societies, that is attributed to the nature of Muslim society, Muslim belief, and in other societies which are also Muslim, it's virtually unheard of. Similarly, in some societies, say Egypt, Somalia, parts of West Africa, female genital mutilation or female genital cutting, which is the cutting off of parts of the female genitalia, is again attributed to Islam. In other societies, again, also Muslim, it's virtually unheard of. So in those contexts, it's very useful for people in Muslim societies to say, but you cannot attribute that to Islam. We're Muslim, and this is how we understand it, and therefore for the people to be able to use those understandings and those arguments in their own societies, and to be able to do so without being accused of being anti-Muslim or outside of their culture and religion.
These sound like major stumbling blocks, in a sense, to try to reach a consensus on what is violence against women. You had mentioned female genital cutting, for example, and I know in some societies, of course, that is accepted as part of the tradition, the culture. But if others view it as something extremely violent and unnecessary and cruel, how do you reach a consensus on what's violence against women?
Well, the way that a good many women's rights activists have developed and the way in which UNFPA works, the United Nations Population Fund, is to focus not on trying to stigmatize cultures, on values of cultures as wrong or evil or immoral, but focusing on practices which harm people in health terms, in dignity terms, in rights terms, whilst validating the cultures themselves. So that, for example, if in one particular society, genital cutting or genital mutilation is supposed to be related to moral values and keeping women safe, the values of that are not a problem. But to point out that the particular practice of cutting off a woman's or a girl's genitalia has serious health, psychological, emotional consequences for her, and that there are other practices that can uphold the values without engaging in bodily cutting, in mutilation, and in physical harm, is the way that we go about it. And secondly, to focus on what is it that other groups, and sometimes other people within the same society, hold as values within that same tradition, but which don't uphold that particular practice. In terms of Muslim discourses, for example, there is a saying that Allah, or God, does not want anybody to be harmed. So clearly, if a particular practice has harmful health consequences, this is not something that should be validated in Muslim practice.